It may not carry out, but I am really upbeat about that pastor's pen. It's saying so much indeed, so much indeed, so truthful. Amen. Let us, before we do anything, have a word of prayer, because this is God's doing. A righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, how we are called to bless you, and we do. Lord, we thank you, Savior, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the enablement of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessed and precious word. Lord, how you've honored us, Lord. And therefore, we are debtors. Debtors, Lord, unto those whom you have not given this enlightenment and illumination. And Lord, thank you for the humility that's in grace. We thank you, O God, for everyone present, every friend, every visitor, Lord, you've caused to come into this place today. Bless according to that thy decreed, thy will, thy purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me today in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and for a text, primarily a text, we're going to take verses 13 through 17. And for an expanded context, we're going to have our reader, who is Elder William Liverman, read from verse 7 of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians and down through verse 17. I think we'll have Ella Liverman read verses 7 through 12 from the King James Version. And then we'll take verse 13 through 17 from the interlinear Greek text. I want you to have this thought in mind today as we minister God's word. What God hath wrought, not us. As Pastor said in the pastor's pen, all is attributed unto him. It's to his pleasing and his will. So I want you to have this in mind as we minister. What God hath wrought, or the workings of God. All right, if you have that in your Bible, say amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 7. Let me say this. This second letter to the Thessalonians that Paul wrote was in big measure to straighten out some misconceptions of the first letter that he had written. For in that, they thought that the coming of Christ was imminent or at hand. And some were doing like some sect we probably have heard of. They thought the same thing. So they went and made communes in remote places and were waiting for the Lord. Well, these brethren had went a step further. They had quit working. Amen. And they were thinking, or under the impression, that since the Lord is coming at any moment, then why continue with business as usual? So they had quit working. All right, so Paul wrote this second letter in big measure to straighten out that misunderstanding. And he has a great message for them and us and all the people of God today. So, Elder, if you will, begin reading from verse 7. And we'll read right down to 17. 7 through 12, Ella, from the King James Version.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with the 7th verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Mm-hmm.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
All right. Well, you notice that let is in italics. It's not in the original. That's an old English word. But the Holy Spirit, God, is controlling everything, and he has a timetable for manifestation in everything. All right. Verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be revealed,
mm-hmm, the man of sin, the Antichrist, mm-hmm,
whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
With the spirit of his mouth.
And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
All right. So God has something planned for the man of sin. All right. 9.
Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan,
mm-hmm,
with all power and
signs
and lying wonders.
You got to watch those signs, miracles, and wonders. You got to watch that. Pay attention to the word of God, rightly divided. All right, read on, Ella.
And with all deceivableness,
uh-huh,
of unrighteousness,
mm-hmm,
in them that perish.
In them that perish. Yes?
Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Now, this word for received is in the aorist tense. That means it is a past completed action. This is what God has decreed. They could not receive the truth because they were not decreed to receive the truth. And we're going to speak more about that later, about these aorist tenses and perfect tenses and the grammatics of the scriptures. Uh-huh, because they received not the love of the truth. Mm-hmm.
That they might be saved.
That they might be having been saved. Verse 11.
For this cause...
For this cause...
God shall send them strong delusion.
Wait, Ella. Who shall send them what?
God shall send them strong delusion.
God shall send them strong delusion. Why?
That they should believe a lie.
That they should believe a lie. Amen. Somebody said that God wouldn't hurt nobody. He's love. He loves everybody. Well, we're going to see what the scriptures say. The Lord God shall send them strong delusion. Notice that them, not us, them. God does make a difference. Amen, in his creation. Shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Uh-huh.
That they all might be damned.
That they all might be having been damned. This was an eternal decree, and it shall manifest as God has decreed it. They shall be damned. Uh-huh.
Who believe not the truth.
Same thing. They could not believe because they were not decreed to believe. I'm going to get into this a little bit more. But believe is an aorist, participle, and active. They could not believe because they were not decreed to believe.
That's right.
They were not chosen. They were not God's dear ones. So they would be damned who did not, could not, believe the truth, but what?
But had pleasure in unrighteousness.
That was also decreed of God. Now, Ella, let's go to the interlinear Greek text. Now, notice the difference. Notice the change. Amen. Verse 13, interlinear Greek text, Ella.
But we ought to thank. God always concerning you.
God always concerning you.
Brothers, having been loved.
All right. That, you notice that transition? But. Now, that's them. But we abound or ought always to give thanks unto you, brethren beloved. Uh-huh.
By the Lord. Because chose you. God, mm-hmm, first fruit, to salvation,
uh-huh,
by sanctification of spirit.
Yes.
And faith of the truth.
You were chosen to that. Read, Ella.
To which also,
uh-huh, the
he
sanctification
called you,
and faith or believing, to which also he called you.
Through the gospel.
One of which gospel was that? Here it is in this pronoun.
Of us.
Of us. In the genitive case. The gospel of us, Paul said. Uh-huh.
To obtainment of the glory of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Of us, Jesus Christ.
All right. Verse 15.
So then, mm-hmm. brothers, stand and hold this traditions
uh-huh.
which ye were taught.
Yes.
Either through speech
mm-hmm.
or through an epistle of us.
Yes.
And himself, the Lord of us.
Himself, the Lord of us.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And the God, the Father of us.
And God, the Father of us.
The one having loved us.
The one having loved us.
And having given you comfort.
And having given comfort.
Eternal and hope.
Eternal and hope.
A good by grace.
A good by grace. Verse 17.
May he comfort of you the hearts.
May he having comforted or of you the hearts.
And may he confirm in every work.
May he having confirmed in every work.
And word good.
And word good. What God hath wrought. All this is depicting God's workings. On the one hand, he is serving out, meeting out destruction and punishment and exclusion. On the other hand, he's embracing in grace and kindness and comfort and love.
God.
Praise God. There is a difference. And the difference is the elect from the non-elect. The chosen from the unchosen. Listen to this. This is my intro. It may or may not come as a surprise to some, but we are living smack dab in what the scriptures call the present evil age, or the evil age, the present, right now.
Right.
You find this in Galatians 1 and 4. This is in Paul's epistle, the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
right now or present truth. I heard that mentioned in the pastor's pen, the present truth. Our gospel, I don't say that squeamishly, amen. This is the present truth. This is the mystery. This is the gospel of the grace of God, and it's our gospel, it's our truth in this present dispensation of the grace of God. Again, as I've said on previous occasions, there are seven distinct dispensations in the Bible. They are clearly identifiable and clearly distinguishable. That is, they are able to have the difference spotted. Only, as God bring you under the rightly divided, properly exegeted teaching, and God the Holy Spirit gives you illumination and enlightenment.
Yes,
and again, also, each dispensation of the seven in the Bible identifies, and we're going to call them out. They have three things. I've said this before. You've heard it in the pulpit preach. Each one has its own gospel of good news. The good news don't travel like we do. We go from one place to the other. The good news of the dispensation stay in its own proper dispensation. So you can't go in Malachi for present truth. That's law. You can't go in Deuteronomy for a present truth, which has now lasted 2,000 years as we in the dispensation of the grace of God looking for right now truth. That's law. Praise God. They have their own gospel of good news. Number two, each dispensation has its own contract, covenant, agreement, or testament. They all mean the same thing. Each one has its own contract. Praise God. And they are either bilateral, which is conditional. You do your part, God does his part. Or unilateral, meaning unconditional. God has placed all the effectuation of the covenant, of the contract, on him. Now, I said we are in the dispensation of grace. Just that very word, grace, means that is it is an unconditional dispensational contract. All right. And every dispensation has its own federal head. That means the one, just in this case it was a man, God chose that in the masculine gender. But you don't have nothing to worry about, ladies, for in Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 28, it said, in Christ there is now neither male nor female, bond nor free, or male and female, bond nor free, Jew or Gentile, we are all one in Christ. That is just an earthly distinction, male and female. Remember those things temporal that are passing away that the pastor was talking about? That earthly distinction has no relevancy in the our manifestation in eternity in the body of Christ. We are there now, but it's not manifested. We don't see it. Hallelujah. So they have its own federal head and the other elect of that dispensation. Each one has that. If you do not divide the Bible into dispensational covenantal arrangements, you will never understand the Bible.
Amen.
If you go over in Deuteronomy and look in the 28th chapter, the 13th and the 44th verse, and where the Lord said, I will make you the head and not the tail. And yet, you are eating catfish, you are eating shrimp and lobster. Amen. You are grabbing the one thing of the law, and you are disobeying in the other point. You either take the whole law or none of it at all.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
The same law, amen, that said, if Israel obey God's commandments and keep his decrees, then he will make them the head and not the tail. And as we know, they didn't keep it.
Amen.
Praise God. But it sounds good, so many a ministry jump on it so that they can preach temporal things, amen, to a spiritual people. If you don't rightly divide this Bible, you won't know what dispensation you are in. You won't know where you belong. You won't know what's your covenant. You won't know what's your gospel or your good news. Even if it kicked you, you won't know it. You're in the wrong part of the Bible reading what is for another of God's elect and assigning it to you.
Amen.
You won't know who you are. You won't know where you are. And let me tell you, you are in Christ right now. Say, well, I don't see it. It don't make no difference what you don't see. God's word said it. It said we are in him. Not only are we in him, and we are in him because we always were in him in eternity. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one spirit were, not are, were we all baptized into one body. And we are still there. You won't know where you stand if you're reading in the wrong portion of the Bible and assigning it unto you.
Amen.
You won't know how you stand. You'll think that you're standing by your faith,
amen,
not knowing that you stand in the grace of God,
mm-hmm,
or that which he hath wrought. Or actually, you've been caused to stand in spite of ourselves and our usual and continual shortcomings, if we honest.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We stand by that. Now, I mentioned exegeting.
Mm-hmm.
or exegesis. The basic meaning, again, I said this, but Paul said in one place unto Timothy, the things that you have heard, constantly affirm them, praise God, or else we'll let them slip. With all the things, as Pastor mentioned earlier, that are going on around about us, amen, when we get in trouble, we generally react fleshly, just like the world, rather than in knowledge of us having a secure position in Christ. We act pretty much, as Elder Liberman said last Sunday, like Abraham. God had just finished telling Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Amen. And there shall those come from your loins. Then he go down into Egypt and gets his wife to tell a fibber McGee, saying, you my sister, because they might kill me and take you. The Lord had just told him that you will be blessed, that you will be a blessing. Amen. And that other nations will be blessed in thee. Now, exegete or exegesis is basically literary interpretation. But what we are dealing with when we come to the Bible is scriptural interpretation. Now, let me take that word interpret. Interpret. If I am speaking in a foreign language and I need an interpreter to interpret it to you in your language, which is English, and I say unto him, I arrived yesterday, and the interpreter tells him that he arrived just a while ago. He have not interpreted rightly what I said. Same thing with the many interpretations of the Bible, King James included. Amen. The Bible was not written in English, as you heard here. The English language was not in usage or existence when the scriptures were written. Amen. What we call the New Testament was written in Greek. Amen. Praise God. And you have to go to the original language to get the scriptures' actual conveyance. When you hear that word actual, there it is again. The true conveyance of what the scripture is actually teaching. You got to go to the original language to get it. King James Version. It was authorized by King James. The brethren that authorized, the brethren under whom did the translation already, as I said before, had preconceived opinions on the scriptures. They were not just newcomers. Amen. Sometimes when the scripture said we were in Christ and gave the aorist tense, they said we are in Christ. Amen. To twist the meaning. I don't say they did intentionally, but ignorance would cause you to do that sometimes. Or selfishness according to what you believe. Right. We all have certain prejudices. Amen. Amen. Whether you got the King James Version, whether you got the BBE, the Bible in Basic English, whether you got the NIV, the New International Version, the NKJV, New King James Version, whether you got the ASV, American Standard Version, all of them are interpretations. Right. And you can't place or hang your hat on any of them to get the right scriptural conveyance. You got to go and properly exegete the scriptures. And in doing that, you go to the original language. Now is not to be saved. If you were saved before the foundation of the world, as Ephesians 1 and 4 states, for we were chosen in him, in Christ, before the foundation or creation of the world, then in time, when you misexegete or fail or don't repeat the sinner's prayer or are not dunked or sprinkled or splashed or dipped in water, it cannot disannul what God has wrought in and for and upon you in eternity.
I hear you.
Praise God. Saved, if they have the testimony of Christ, yes, they are saved. But it's inaccurate, it's errant, flawed exegesis. Praise God. Now, let's get to long introduction. I heard somebody say, sounded good then, sound good to me. But before I do that, let me give you the dispensations. Seven. The first one is innocence. Federal head, Adam. Covenant bilateral. Adam, you can eat of all the trees but one. He ate of that one. I know his wife gave it to him, but that's all right. The stipulation was given to him, not to Eve. She wasn't around when the stipulation came. But the law, and then his eyes were open, conscience, meaning to know within. And the eyes were open. But the Lord immediately began to mete out curses or punishment. He cursed the creation. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the woman. And he cursed the man, Adam. But right on the heel of that, the Lord pronounced blessing. He said to the serpent, but the seed of the woman shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in manifestation, because the Lamb of God was actually, really, truly, amen, crucified and slain before the foundation of the world in God's decree. We're going to talk about decree also. Next one came human government, Noah, a unilateral covenant or contract. After that came promise, Abraham. God called him out, amen, come out from among your kinfolk to a land I'll show you. And God made promise unto him. Unilateral. All of the effectuation of the covenant was on God. The ability to effectuate or hold it up or sustain it or keep it, God placed it on him. Next was law, bilateral. Moses, come up, get tablets of stone, and receive commandments and give them unto the children of Israel. If you keep my commandments, if, then will you be a peculiar people unto me in all the earth, for all the earth is mine. Bilateral. They do their part. God did his part. Then we have grace. Unilateral. Grace means a benefit. First of all, it means no merit. If someone gives you a gift of grace, and you say, hey, here's $5. If you take it, you've destroyed grace. It is a gift, it is a benefit, and it means no merit, no worth. Not your faith, not your sinner's prayer, not your assent. Not because you were dunked, no matter whose name it was, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ. Makes no difference. If you bring anything or could bring anything to the table, you have destroyed grace.
I hear you.
Grace is a benefit.
I hear you.
It is a blessing with no expectation of payment or return. And then we have kingdom, unilateral. It's relegated to Jeremiah 31:31. The Lord said he will make, they broke the old one, he will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel. God placed all the incumbency of the fulfillment of the contract on him. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see what God hath wrought for us. The 13th verse of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. We but or but we ought, in our way of speaking, to thank the God. And that God is the one that have wrought it all. This is in the dative case. In the dative case, you have the instrumental or you have the locative. Amen. Instrumental means through or by the means of. Locative means in the sphere of. Paul is saying we ought to thank God because he is the means and the doer of what we've been to put before you. We ought to thank God always concerning you, brethren. Same thing around here. If someone, and we've been apprised of this through Pastor, if someone does a benefit, we first of all thank God for them because he has wrought it. Amen. We were created in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Ephesians 2 and 10. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
If good works come out of you, God have temporarily, momentarily overruled the bad and manifested your identifying with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In whom we are and do abide.
Thank God.
Concerning you, now we come, I want you to perk your ears. This is the vocative case. The vocative case is the case of direct address. You can't mistake with the vocative case.
Amen.
It's direct address.
Lord.
This is to you.
Yes,
this is to me. This is to Paul. This is to everyone in the grace dispensation. We ought always to thank the God always concerning you, brethren. Now, I've already cleared up that brother-sister thing. Concerning you, brethren, get this, still in the vocative case, loved by the Lord. That love is in what we call in the Greek, the perfect tense. You have to exegete to get this. See, we think we got to do something to gain acceptance with God. Oh, hallelujah. You do. Because God have already decreed for you to do
That's it.
That's why you do it.
Thank God.
You work, you move, you manifest because the Lord has already decreed it.
Amen.
It don't happen in God's creation except in the Lord has wrought it. What we call the good, what we call the bad, or the indifferent. Creation is in God. And if the Lord has not decreed it in, it will not manifest. It cannot manifest in him, in his creation. I think we ought to get this Bible straight. If something is going down in your life that's disagreeable unto you, you love. Know that you are loved.
Amen.
It can't go down except in the Lord decreed it to go down.
That's right.
But I don't want it like that. Make no difference. I want to talk about two things before I move on. I want to talk about agenda, and I want to talk about imagined itineraries. The reason we have so many problems throughout the course of a day, throughout the course of a week, or any transpirance in our life, is we don't surrender to the will of God because it don't meet with our agenda. Friend, let me tell you something. Only God has a true agenda. What we have is imagined itineraries. That's all we have. God has an agenda. An agenda. Things to be done. Things to be done, as we call agenda. with God is things that have already been accomplished through his eternal decree,
yes.
And he is just manifesting them in the created entity of time. Mm-hmm. He's showing them. He's exposing them, but they are already decreed.
That's right. Amen.
Imagine itineraries. To imagine something is to picture something to oneself. And we have it existing only in the fancy of our own mind. But if God has not, you listen to this, you that are aspiring students, aspiring in business and the sciences and in anything, you that are aspiring to retirement and relax and ease, you that are aspiring to do this and aspiring to do that. If God have not wrought it, it's not going down. I don't care if you kick, cry, slobber. You see where he said, if you ask, you have the desire of your heart. Where'd you read that? You didn't read that in the gospel of the grace of God. You read that in the kingdom gospel, or over, I think it's in John, in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. And you didn't read the stipulation. If we ask anything according to his will, that's the catch. According to his will. If it don't go down, it's because God has not decreed it to go down. But on the other hand, if it goes down, God has decreed it to go down. But it didn't go like I wanted it to go. God has decreed it to go just like he has decreed it to go. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to get to the context. I've opened up another avenue. You hear us throw around this word decree here at the Grace Gospel Church. Decree. I want you to be clear in your mind down to your socks and stockings what we are talking about. We don't want you to go away from here hazy or foggy. To decree something, it means to order it by authority. You got to have the authority, first of all. You got to have the authority. Yes, you can't decree nothing. You just run out in your street by your house and make some noise. That's all you're doing. But you got to have the authority.
Amen.
It means to order a thing into being or existence. It means to order it into or make it a reality, make it real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another word that is used one place. It's used in the third chapter of Daniel. Exercise in the third chapter of Daniel, it's akin to a decree. But in the third chapter of Daniel, they call it a decree. A decree differs from an edict. An edict is also a public proclamation or order issued by authority. Only edicts are issued in time by men and can be, and are oftentimes changed. A decree cannot be changed, and therefore it's eternal.
Glory.
It is given in eternity, and it is eternal. Let me show you what I mean. You like a nice little juicy short Old Testament story, I hope. In the book of Daniel, the third chapter, Nebuchadnezzar got the bright idea, it was the Lord's doing, that he would build this fantastic image, place it in a certain place, and have his musicians to play all manner of exotic arranged music. And every time that everybody in his kingdom, he called every man of authority together, every time everybody heard this music, they were to bow down and worship this image. But there were three guys that told the king. They were governors in certain districts. We're not careful how we talk to you. I answer you in this matter. We're not going to bow down to your image and worship it. Well, the decree said anybody that don't do it going to be thrown that same hour into the burning fiery furnace. They did not do it. So he had them thrown into the fiery furnace. And the Lord overruled the elements. They came out as he looked and saw them in there. They brought them out. And they didn't even smell smoke on their garments. And in the 28th verse of the third chapter of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, great king, had to realize and admit, your God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have changed the king's word. But when God makes a decree, it was done in eternity, and it all left to do is to manifest in the created entity of time. Death can change a man's edict, which he calls a decree. His leaving the kingship by whatever means, by death or overthrow or whatever. We getting ready to have a change of dispensation here in January the 20th. Actually, November and ultimately in January the 20th. Amen. It will be changed. Another one will come in as President of the United States and will issue, praise God, their dispensational or economical plans and policies. All right. Now, bless the name of Jesus. Here we go. Here we go. The Lord chose you first. I heard this mentioned. This choosing here is an indicative aorist, and it was done by the third person singular. Mm-hmm. Paul was doing the writing and the talking. He was talking to the saints at Thessalonica. And the third person that he was talking about that chose you was God. Mm-hmm. The third person singular, not God's, not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. One Godhead chose you, the God. First portion, saints. First portion. I heard this mentioned. God puts you above all the elect of all time. You are above Adam. You are above Israel. You are above Elijah in Israel. You are above the 12 disciples who later became apostles. You are a man, a member of the body of Christ. You are joined unto deity. You have all, praise God, the inheritance that God has. Every single spiritual blessing, God has lavished it on us. Hallelujah. And all that needs now is the manifestation. We couldn't stand it now in finiteness or limitedness. Praise God. You have to have unlimitedness. You have to be manifested in glory with your glorified body to stand the blessings of God. Hallelujah. I can see now. While the Lord had Paul knocked senseless, whew, before he revealed unto him, amen, he was caught up to the third heavens and saw things, praise God, that he wasn't able to utter because men wouldn't understand. If Paul was in his right mind standing and the Lord revealed them things unto him, he'd probably still be running hollering. Finiteness. But God has assigned us to infiniteness, unlimitedness. Praise God. And the blessing. We're worrying about things now, cars and houses and money and retirement. And am I going to outlast my money? Oh, glory to God. If we read the right gospel, it won't matter whether we outlast the money or whether we ain't got nothing to outlast. Praise God. You are loved of God. You are chosen of God.
Yes.
I want to bring this out more clearly to you. Elder Liverman, you still got your Bible open.
Amen.
Turn with me and saints to the second Corinthians, the first chapter. And Elder, I couldn't just stop at three verses. I had to catch the gist of what the Lord is saying here in the context. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. I said that you, the scripture said, that you were loved. You were loved, and you are loved. Even though we are failing miserably day in and day out, even though we say on our breath things we ought not say, think things we ought not think, praise God, you were loved, perfect tense, completed, with the effects coming right down to the present. You are loved. You are because you were. You were and you still are loved of God. Let the scriptures talk to you. Prove it, Elder. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Yeah, let's go with the King James. I might put in a grammatical connotation there, here and there. Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Yes.
Beginning with the first verse.
With the first verse.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By the will of God.
It's God's workings. It's God's will. It's God's doing.
And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth,
yeah,
with all the saints which are in all Achaia.
That's like saying southeastern Michigan. Achaia is not a city, it's a region.
Grace be to you.
Look what God is saying to you, saints. Grace to you.
And peace from God our Father.
And peace from God our Father. Now, everybody in here got a last name. You got it from your parents, either your mother or your earthly father. But we're starting off here, just the first time, we're seeing that God is our Father. Now, what's the difference here? God is according to our in Christ eternal spirit, the new man. Your earthly father is only your father temporarily, according to this here. That's it. Period. When this here is gone, that distinction or those distinctions will be no more. They are just assigned distinctions temporarily in time.
I hear you.
But you are who you always were. You are where you always were in Christ.
Amen.
You are a child of God. Now, because you always were in eternity. Praise God. And pretty soon, we all will be manifested where we always were in Christ. Manifest means to show, make plain, see, reveal. That's all it means. That's all it means. All right. Grace and peace from God our Father. Blessing. Love. Mercy, and now irene, peace from God,
yes,
and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I meant 3. Yes, go ahead, Ella.
Blessed God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Father of mercies.
Father of mercies.
And the God of all comfort.
And the God of all comfort.
Who comforted us in all our tribulations.
I wanted that job. God knows I wanted it. I wanted that car. Oh, I wanted it. I wanted to finish what I was doing before I caught this ailment. I did. God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of our course, whatever it is in life. We have imagined itineraries. God is the only one that has an agenda. His agenda cannot be thwarted. It cannot be hindered, and it cannot be disannulled. You remember the Apostle Paul? He had an infirmity in his flesh. I know that what they say. It wasn't an ailment. It wasn't a sickness. But the scriptures say an infirmity, a weakness. How many times he prayed for it to be gone? Three. And he's the one, the Lord, had delivered the revelation of the mystery or this gospel of the truth relating to us who we always were in Christ Jesus and who we are right now, where we truly abide, what we have, each and every spiritual blessing in Christ. So with that knowledge, Paul shut up and bore it and went on through life bearing that thorn in his flesh. All right, read on, Elder.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation.
That we may be able to comfort them.
That we may be able to comfort them.
Which are in any trouble.
Uh-huh.
By the comfort
wherewith
we ourselves are comforted of God.
Whereby we ourselves are comforted of God. Has anybody here ever had the opportunity? Loved ones, family members, relatives, co-workers, friends of co-workers, family of co-workers, acquaintances, neighbors, and so forth, with the knowledge that the Lord has blessed unto your spirit, have you been able to comfort one that was in any case of trouble or upheaval? Read on, Elder.
By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted, verse 4-5.
Uh-huh.
For as the sufferings of Christ
abound in us,
so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
So our consolation aboundeth by Christ. Who said, who told you that you wasn't going to suffer? Your best life now. Give me a break. Christ suffered for us. We identify, here it is right here. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. I know Paul is speaking now personally about him and the ministers that were with him, but all the saints of God in another place. As he said in verse 7, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be of the consolation. Who told us we weren't going to suffer? The amazing thing is, when the Lord overruled the curses and the depravity of this world and this here, it's ever present with us. That's the amazing part. When he overrules that and calls us to identify with who we truly are. The new man. Oh, the Bible speaks of the new man, who we truly are in Christ. Read on, Elder.
And whether we be afflicted.
Whether we afflicted.
It is for your consolation and salvation.
Your consolation and salvation, not their eternal salvation of their soul, but for the salvation of their mind to be able to endure the sufferings that they're going through. Let me tell you something. Do you know that I am a two running, so one of them got to be your man if you vote. You're going to vote for one of them if you're a voter. Do you know that there are a lot of Christians voting for the other guy that are going to be disappointed almost to tears if their guy don't win? As there will be a lot of Christians voting for this guy and going to feel let down. Oh, Lord, what we going to do now if their guy don't win? God raise up one leader. And he bring down another. Don't make no difference who in the White House or whatever house. God's agenda, God's course for your life, whether you agree with all of it, some of it, or none of it, your course is going to be finished and ran. Nothing is going to change that. We've seen tsunamis. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen fires, we've seen floodings, we've seen wars, we've seen commotion, we've seen catastrophic things. And somebody said earlier, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. This earth is cursed. Amen. But we're in Christ, not here, in our eternal spirit. We just don't see it now. To be absent from the body equals being present with the Lord.
Thank God.
Close eyes in time. Manifest it. Woo, woo. And have the body to sustain it. And the regimen to take on all the blessings. Woo, woo. Glory to God. And the stamina to praise Him throughout all eternity. We don't have it now. Oh, what God have wrought.
Thank God.
We just don't see it now.
That's right.
But the Lord left it on record. It's not in Deuteronomy and Genesis. That's God's word. It's all true. True for them, not for you. The mystery is ours. That's our gospel. Where can you go in the Bible and find out that as a Gentile, you are a member of Christ's body? You can't go nowhere in the scriptures but in Paul's gospel and find out that information. Where can you go in the Bible and discover that you are an heir of God, a joint heir of that which belongs to Christ Jesus? Everything. All we see, and we have to use telescopes to see that. We see the comets, and we see the stars, and we see parts of the solar system, and we see the galaxies. We can't see all the universe. They ain't reached telescopes like that yet. But all that we don't see, the unseen spiritual blessings in Christ. And we worrying about biscuits and bread and funds and so forth. All, everything we got going to perish. And guess what's going after all we got? Or as all we got go? We going. But we don't weep as others that have no hope. Sure, we cry when a loved one leaves. Sure, we miss that fellowship. Baby. We praise God for our mothers over there. Every day we see them. Some of us might leave for our mothers. But we praise God for the very presence of our mothers.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God for the very presence. And we would weep if we lost one. But we don't weep as others that have no hope. Our weeping is just for the broken fellowship because we miss him. I had my moment. I lost a brother. Ella, we're not going to finish. I'm not going to try. I lost a brother in 1986. I lost my mother in 2004, December, after Christmas. I didn't cry on my way down there. I didn't cry on my way back. I didn't cry during the funeral. But I missed her, and there was a moment I was still working at time at Ford. I called a lady whose name was Lou, Mary Lou. I said, Mary Lou. And it hit me, that's the way my dad used to call my mother, Lou. And that's when I had my moment. I cried because I would see her no more than touch her here anymore. But it was over. She was gone to be with the Lord. And guess what? Me too. In God's own time. Amen. So saints of God, remember this. Take this with you. You are loved of God. You are chosen, or not are, you are, it's perfect tense, are because you were. Are because you were, the perfect tense. You go to the grammar. Not to be saved now, not to be saved, no. You were saved, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But you go to the grammar to have mental salvation. And encouragement salvation when you see everything going down around you. And our gospel give it to us. Take that knowledge with you. God bless you.